I'm weird like that. Oh, yeah, and don't forget the little microphones.
I know. I was still trying to lean over into your lap.
That's awkward. But you don't have to.
Yeah, good.
You ready to do this?
Yep.
All right, welcome to It Is What It Is. I am Crippled Shamari.
I'm Jean.
Functioning. Jean is what she is. She functions.
Well,
I don't.
I'm your lifeline for Mountain Dew. Shit.
You guys.
I'd be over here 5 times a day if that was true, huh?
Oh, my God, you would. This is, like, one of my first Mountain Dews in forever, though.
Oh, honey.
My sister brings them, and my brother brings them. And this episode today will be entitled, Happy Birthday, Brother. My little brother just turned 25 years old.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, my sweet, sweet little Zachary.
25 shots.
25, no, dude. 25 years old is insane to think about.
Yeah.
But I've kind of brought him along on this crazy, crazy adventure I call my life. And so over the years, I've always, like, wanted to ask. Like, I always asked him, like, who's your favorite? And he got involved into, like, some podcasts and shit recently or whatever. And, like, not too long ago, he came to me and he's like, so I have my favorite. And I'm like, oh, my God, yes.
Uh-huh.
Who? H.H. Holmes is his favorite killer. So H.H. Holmes brought to you by us. From us to you for my brother's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yep, we're going to talk about H.H. Holmes. And we're going to switch it up since I am medicated. And.
Could be worse. You could have nothing.
Yeah, you guys, see? It could be worse. I could just, like, not do this for 6 to 8 weeks while I wallow in pity and cry. But I said, I'm going to take my sad, creakly, sad little voice to the public. I'm super sad. That's just because I haven't left my house in going on 2 weeks.
Do you want me to piggyback you down the stairs?
I cannot
come to my house?
Out there. No? I cannot.
I can do it, though. Can totally do it.
Tuesday, I think, is when my appointment is.
Like tomorrow, Tuesday?
No.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, 2 whole weeks without any movement, any weight, anything. I move from here to my room to my potty. And back. And then my lovely brother, Zach, checks on me for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to learn the harsh lesson of you don't bring fast food to a house, even though he resides in it, lives in it, pays rent here. You don't bring fast food unless you brought it for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he throws me some bread like I'm a bird. And he has Subway in his hands. And I'm like, the fuck is wrong with this?
Where's my...
Yeah. BLT. I still didn't even get no goddamn Subway. Like, I do a whole show for the worldwide to listen to me gush about how amazing and great he is while talking about a killer. And you don't even bring me a Subway sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to listen to this because it's about him, so he'll love it. And he'll sit there with that cheesy dick little smile on his face the whole time that I just adore and love.
Aww.
All right, so why it's different today is because, like I said, I am medicated. So Jean is going to read the thing for us so that it's not
the bio.
Horrible. Yeah. I'm nice enough to print it, so...
You are, because otherwise I'll be squinting at my phone like an idiot.
Yeah, and yeah. I even, like, title my pages and do all that cute shit.
This is going to be hard, because I want to throw in, like, spoilers and shit.
Yeah, no, don't. So okay. That's why now she's going to... We're training Jean in a way. Today we are training Jean is what we are doing. Today is Jean's training day, and it's my little brother's birthday podcast. So... With no further ado, Jean, take it away with H.H. Holmes.
Okay. So, H.H. Holmes is born Herman Webster Mudgett in Gilmanton.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to read it to me.
Well, I just didn't know if you wanted to be able to see to say stop.
Oh, no, I don't. You're good.
Nonsense. Okay.
You're good. Just go, girl.
Okay. Gilmanton, New Hampshire, United States, May 16th, 1861. To Levi Horton Mudgett and Theodate Page Price.
Real quick, with the Mudgett last name,
mm-hmm.
You know what I thought of?
Hmm.
The Muppets.
Yeah.
And the what's the Christmas one? The Christmas Carol one? That's what it is, right? Christmas
oh, the Grinch? Carol? Uh-huh. Well, that's not what it's called, though. Not
yeah,
the
no. Ebenezer.
Yeah.
Ebenezer.
Scrooge. Yeah. I watched that one.
Yeah, someone in there. Crockett. Crockett. That's what that last name reminded me of. And I was like, oh, so funny. Sorry. I'll make a couple of
they're
those.
They're used to our side tangents.
Yeah, I'll make it's a couple of those nice. Through this whole process, I promise. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Okay, so Levi and Theodate, both of whom were, like, first English immigrants in the area. So they came from England to the United States and had a baby.
Oh, okay.
Third born had an elder sister, Ellen, older brother, Arthur, younger brother, Henry, and younger sister, Mary. His father was from a farming family, and he would work as a farmer, trader, house painter. His parents were devout Methodists, later attempting to fit Holmes into the pattern seen in modern serial killers, described him torturing animals and suffering from abuse at the hands of a violent father. But contemporary and eyewitness account of his childhood who don't provide proof of either. So maybe he was just strict.
No, I heard he was an asshole. There's a bunch of stuff that said his dad was, like, really strict and... Well, I guess not an asshole, but strict and firm.
Yeah.
With all of the children, not just...
Didn't put up with bullshit.
Yeah.
Who's that remind you of?
I don't know. Karma hit that person, so I don't fucking know.
At age 16... It did not. That's not what happened. Oh, my God. At age 16... graduated from high school and took teaching jobs in Gilmanton and later nearby Alton. On July 4th, 1878, he married Clara Levering in Alton, and their son, Robert Levering Mudgett, was born February 3rd, 1880. July to February.
Yeah.
Sorry. In London, New Hampshire. As an adult, Robert became a certified public accountant and served as city manager of Orlando, Florida. Mm. Holmes enrolled in the University of Vermont in Burlington, Vermont at the age of 18, but was dissatisfied with the school and left after 1 year. In 1882, he entered the University of Michigan's Department of Medicine and Surgery, graduated in June after passing his exams. While enrolled, he worked in the anatomy lab under Professor Herdman, the chief anatomy instructor. Holmes had apprenticed in New Hampshire under Dwight Nahum Wright.
Oh, damn. Okay.
A noted advocate of human dissection.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, when Holmes was suspected of murder and claimed to be nothing but an insurance fraudster, he admitted to using cadavers to defraud insurance company several times in college. So that's how he was paid through college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's rumors, too, that he stole a baby when he was in school.
Oh,
cadaver baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, took it and did a bunch of fucked up shit.
Took it home or something?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Ugh. Like, smuggled it home in his lunchbox.
It's almost like you're when you're watching that series, it's almost like you're watching Criminal Minds when it goes into what he did.
Cause oh, yeah. Kind
of, I guess you get, like, 200 or
Are
so bucks back then. No.
Oh, okay.
Gosh.
Okay.
But you get 200 bucks for a body back then is, like, 5,000 now.
Yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah, for, like, what, schooling and stuff? When you, like, just give him a body?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get bank.
Yeah.
Which is
well, because you can donate your body to science, and then I don't know who the money goes to, or should just help pay the funeral, because those are expensive. Okay, so this guy, he was suspected of murder and said, no, I'm just a fraudster. That's cute. Housemates described Holmes as treating Clara violently. Oh, great.
She was known to walk around with the black eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1884, before graduation, she moved back to New Hampshire and later wrote that she knew little of him afterwards. Oh, so they just...
They went their ways.
Deuced out, didn't have text messaging back in the 1800s,
folks. Yep, it was easier to break up then. It was. It was as easy as, like, see you, bitch, when I don't see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you a bird.
I'll send you a bird.
With a fucking message, homie. Fuck off.
After he moved to Moore's Folks, New York, a rumor spread about Holmes that had been seen with a little boy who later disappeared. Holmes claimed the boy went back to his home in Massachusetts. No investigation took place, and Holmes quickly left town. Well, this is back in the day where they don't really follow through. This is back then,
too, where they didn't follow through, and he was the good-looking fella.
And he's a doctor.
Yeah, he didn't give off them creepy vibes. He was a good-looking fella. So you were like, well, you're established. Sure, you have a button-down tie, for fuck's sake.
So he's a pretty good cop. Yeah,
you're a gentleman.
Yeah.
Dare they. Yeah, keep going. She's doing great, guys.
I lost my place. Nope, hang she fucking sucks. Out.
She's fired.
I'm leaving then. Nope. I'm taking these cookies.
Oh, nope. No,
I'm kidding. All right.
You guys are going to hear a domestic dispute happen.
She probably just hit me with her damn crutch.
My walker.
Trip me. Okay, after he left town because no investigation about the little boy disappearing took place, he later traveled to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and got his job as a keeper. As a keeper at Norristown State Hospital, but quit after a few days. It's probably like a candy striper.
The keeper, I thought that was maintenance.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Oh, wait. Wasn't he a fucking doctor?
Yeah, but if everything...
We're like, he's the maintenance guy.
You know, if he didn't show him his doctor's license.
Oh, I'm sure he did, because he was about money, and like he wasn't about to be known as like a poor fella.
Yeah.
He had too much... When he was a doctor... There's even, like, this cute little documentary about him when he wasn't a teacher. Sorry. A student wrote in there that, like, wrote in this cute little book, like, insulted him in, like, a very nice way. He was just like, Mr. H is just, like...
Out of this, yeah.
He don't know anything.
He's kind of gone.
He don't know nothing, but he thinks he knows something, but he don't know nothing. So, he was really butthurt about that. Like, he petitioned to get it removed from, like, all the publishings and everything.
Oh, wow.
And the school was like, you're throwing a fit over a child's opinion of you, sir.
Yeah, stop. But if you're a narcissist, your ego is everything, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's just so you guys build a picture. Mm-hmm. He is pretty.
Yeah, he's well-dressed, gentlemen.
He knows he's pretty. He knows he has a button-down shirt. He ain't fucking around. He knows he's smeary, yes. Okay. Go on.
So after he quit the grounds job, he took a position at a drugstore in Philly. And while he was... Sorry, that's Philadelphia. While working there, a boy died after taking medicine that was purchased at the store. Oh, no. Holmes denied any involvement in the child's death and then bounced. Immediately left the city. Right before moving to Chicago...
Chicago!
He changed his name to Henry Howard Holmes to avoid the possibility of being exposed by his victims... of his previous scams. Smart. Yep.
Yes.
In his confession after the arrest, Holmes claimed that he killed his former medical school classmate, Dr. Robert Leacock, in 1886 for insurance money.
Yeah, buddy.
Dr. Leacock, however, died in Watford, Ontario, in Canada, on October 5th, 1889. So, Holmes is a liar pants. In late 1886, while still married to Clara, however you'd like to pronounce it. I'm not sure.
I'm sure you're pronouncing it way better than I would.
Oh, that poor lady. Holmes married Myrta Belknap.
Myrta! I like that. Myrta!
You know, these old names are coming back.
Dude, I dig it.
Yeah.
I fucking dig it. Myrta! Okay, go on.
In October 1862 in Pennsylvania. They got married in Minneapolis. She was from Pennsylvania. Okay. Confused me for a hot second. He filed for divorce from Clara a few weeks after marrying Myrta, allegedly accusing infidelity on her part. Because, of course, she was a cheater?
Oh,
okay. No, she wasn't a cheater.
Oh, she wasn't a cheater.
He said that she
didn't. Oh.
You know, it's one of those.
Gene knows for sure.
Because he's a man, so he filed the divorce so he can say whatever she wants.
Shit, back then, couldn't you just kill her and say she was a cheater?
He didn't think about that first.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't he kill her? Didn't she go missing? Sorry. Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry.
The claims could not be proven. Bitch. And the suit went nowhere. Surviving paperwork indicated she probably was never informed of the suit. In any case, the divorce was never finalized. It was dismissed June 4th, 1891 on the grounds of want of persecution. Holmes had a daughter with Myrta. Prosecution. Want of prosecution. I don't know what that means.
Me either. I'm not a goddamn lawyer.
Why didn't they just go ahead and... I thought after... Because, like, if you just ignore...
Girl, this is back in the 1880s, 90s. I don't fucking... I don't mess with that juju. I don't know.
Okay, so Holmes had a baby with Myrta, Lucy Theodate Holmes. Oh, she's named after the mother.
Oh, Lucy.
Born on July 4th,
1889. Cute. Isn't that
the day that
he
married that one lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Englewood, Chicago, Illinois. Because they have boroughs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. As an adult, Lucy became a public school teacher. Holmes lived with Myrta and Lucy in Wilmette, Illinois, and spent most of his time in Chicago tending to business. Holmes married... Wait a minute! He keeps marrying people. Holmes married Georgina Yoke on January 17th, 1894 in Denver, Colorado, while still married to Clara and Myrta. And he's going to try and say that that other lady was a hoe. Come on. He's a hoe.
He's a hoe.
Illinois and the Murder Castle.
That is what you just read is his previous life.
I just don't understand that if he was with Myrta, where the hell did Georgina come from?
Dude, this dude had so many.
So he bounced to Denver.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you're going to go into the Murder Castle. Now you're venturing.
So 1894, and he arrived in Chicago in August
1886. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now we're gonna get to the good shit.
Which is when he began using the name H. H. Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he came across Elizabeth S. Holton's drugstore and southwest corner, at the southwest corner of South Wallace Avenue and West 63rd Street in Englewood. Holton. Sorry, I have to say it like that. From watching Friday. Holton gave Holmes a job and proved to be a hard-working employee, eventually buying the store. He bought a pharmacy.
He bought the pharmacy. He had a smart hustle. He was a very, very smart
I think he man. Was a super intelligent man.
Very, very smart man, yes.
They say, like, the higher, I hope I don't offend any of the smarty pants out there, but they say the higher your IQ is, it's more chance of psychosis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I whispered that, but...
I don't know either, because the microphone gets everything.
I know. Okay, so he bought the cute little pharmacy. After several books portray Holton's husband as an old man who quickly vanished along with his wife, Dr. Holton was a fellow Michigan alumnus from college. After a few years... Only a few years older than Holmes. Both the Holtons remained in Englewood throughout Holmes' life and survived well into the 20th century. It's a myth that they were killed by Holmes. So people have been talking.
Yeah.
Making stuff up. Okay. Well, I'm glad that they're...
When all his dirty laundry came out, they kind of were like, well, we're going to be quiet. So when they went quiet, everybody was like, oh, they did.
Yeah.
They went and got dead.
But especially back then, like, your pride and your name and to have it tarnished.
You know? Yeah.
That was everything back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, sorry. Okay, this is the part that where it gets really fun. Ah! Holmes purchased an empty lot across from the drugstore where construction began in 1887. For a two-story mixed use with apartments on the second floor, retail spaces, including a new drugstore on the first. So they built a bigger one.
Yeah.
Holmes declined to pay... When Holmes declined to pay the architects or the steel company, Atna Iron and Steel, they sued in 1888. In 1892, when he added the third floor, telling investors and suppliers he intended to use it as a hotel during the upcoming World's Columbian Expedition. Though the hotel portion was never completed, furniture suppliers found Holmes was hiding their materials for which he never paid. In hidden rooms and passages throughout the building. So this man had a building built, a building built, and didn't pay him at all. I don't know if I would rip a steel man off because he's gonna have a big ass thing to hit you with when he comes after his money.
No, dude, he just pimped his way through it all.
Oh my gosh. There were soundproofed rooms. I kind of want to go in a house like this. Like the Winchester house. Yep. Oh my god.
Why would they tear this place down? You know what I mean?
Asbestos.
I know.
No, I'm kidding.
Fucking asbestos.
Alright, so check it out. Soundproof rooms and mazes and hallways that seemed to go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Many of the rooms were outfitted with chutes that would drop straight down to the basement where Holmes...
Fuck no.
Ooh, he had acid vats.
If you guys have ever seen Sweeney Todd...
Yes.
Set your throat. Hit the floor. Just like that.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Where the
that,
floor
I wasn't just... paid to do that. Yeah, they just do that.
You could be paid to sing on the show.
No, but that's what they did.
So he had acid vats in the basement, quick lime, and a crematorium to dispose of the victims' bodies. Their search made the news, and investors for the planned hotel pulled out of the deal when a jeweler in the building showed them the articles. The hotel was gutted by a fire snitches. Started by an unknown arsonist. Shortly after Holmes was Shortly after Holmes was arrested, but was largely rebuilt and used as a post office until 1938. In 1892, the building was somewhat completed with three stories and a basement. The first floor, that was the storefront. The second floor had his elaborate torture rooms, which contained the chute that led to the basement. The third floor had more apartment rooms. In 1894, police officers inspected the hotel while Holmes was gone. During the inspection, they found rooms with hinged walls and false partitions.
The fake walls.
I want one of those cool things.
Oh, like a mystery wall?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's cool. A bookcase that opens up into an awesome room.
Yeah.
I keep losing my spot. Sorry, folks. Okay, so the hinged walls, false partitions, rooms leaked with secret passageways, and even airtight rooms that were connected to pipelines filled with gas, which Holmes used as gas chambers. Holmes used the chutes to deliver the bodies to the basement there once more. He made use of surgical tables and an array of medical tools to dissect them before selling their organs and bones on the black market and to medical institutions. One of the early murder victims was his mistress, Julia Smythe. I told you guys, he's... my gosh. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. So far. She was the wife of Ned Icleus Connor, who moved into Holmes's building and began working at the pharmacy's jewelry counter. After Connor found out about Smythe's affair with Holmes, he quit his job and moved out, leaving Smythe and their daughter Pearl behind. Well, come on.
Smythe, oh no, what happened to Pearl?
Smythe gained custody of Pearl and remained at the hotel and continued her relationship with Holmes. Well, yeah.
Okay, so what happened? Holmes killed her. What happened? What did Pearl do?
Julia and Pearl disappeared Christmas Eve of 1891, and Holmes later claimed that she had died during an abortion, what truly happened was the two was never confirmed. Another likely Holmes Palmer.
It was a gorgeous building. Sorry to stop you, but that's gorgeous.
Just well built and stuff.
Very nice. It's very gorgeous.
It's probably they were sold. Baby was sold.
So
to
he
the medical
sold
people,
the
probably.
Baby, but she died from his botched abortion. Right. Right?
I think so.
Correct. Okay. I know a good portion of it. I know how they died. I just don't know their names. So I'm just going to try to put it together without.
No, you're good.
So she's the one who died from the botched abortion, which was like gruesome.
Oh,
what he did was horrible. In the reenactment of it, of course. Because we are just going off of what he said.
Yeah.
What he told the police and what the police wrote down for him. Sorry, go on.
You're fine. Another likely Holmes paramour. Emmeline Sirgrande.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure I messed that up. Began working in the building in May 1892 and disappeared among about December. Another woman had vanished in 1891. Another woman who vanished, Edna Van Tassel, is believed to have been among Holmes' victims. So that's Julia Smythe. So 1, 2, 3 of those chicks in that building so far that he done away with. Great.
Huh.
In April 12th, 1896 newspaper, the New York Journal, showing the interior of the Holmes Castle. While working in the chemical bank during the Dearborn Street, Holmes met and became close friends with Benjamin Peitzel, carpenter who had a criminal past.
Benjamin.
A carpenter with a criminal past, mm-hmm. who was exhibiting in the same building a coal bin he had invented. Oh, so he was showing this off, trying to sell it. Mm. Holmes and Peitzel, as his right-hand man for several criminal schemes.
That became his side piece.
That was his little Robin.
Yeah, that was his fucking, the Scarlet to him.
Mm.
His little side hustle. From what I understand.
Oh, so they like.
That became Zack and John Boy, I guess.
No,
but not in a crazy way.
Not like that kind of love.
Well, no, because Zack, they wouldn't kill each other, but.
No.
Yeah. They were deuces in a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A carpenter with a criminal past who was, exhibiting the same building, his little coal bin he invented. Holmes and Peitzel is his right-hand man for several criminal schemes. A district attorney later described Peitzel as Holmes's tool, his creature. So his little bitch.
Yeah. That's a nice, sassy way to put his tool.
His
tool. He was the tool belt of the tools.
Back in the day.
That's a nice way to get punked out. You're a screwdriver, motherfucker. Eat that.
In early 1893, one-time actress Minnie Williams moved to Chicago. Holmes claimed to have met her at an employment office, and though there were rumors he met her in Boston years earlier. He offered her a job at the motel as his personal stenographer, and she accepted. That's the lady that types your notes.
Yeah, she follows you around all day and does all your
work. He is a very important person.
Uh-huh.
Or he thought. Holmes persuaded Williams to transfer the deed of her property in Fort Worth, Texas, to a man named Alexander Bond, an alias of Holmes. Well, why? In 1893, Williams transferred the deeds, with Holmes serving as the notary.
Convenient.
That's convenient.
Huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great. Hang on. Wait, pause for a second. In April 1893, he transferred the deeds with Holmes serving as the notary. Holmes later signed the deed over to Peitzel, giving him an alias, Benton T. Lyman. The next month, Holmes and Williams presented themselves as man and wife, renting an apartment in Chicago, Lincoln Park. Minnie's sister, Anna, came to visit in July. She wrote to her aunt that she planned to accompany brother Harry to Europe. Neither Minnie nor Annie were seen alive after July 5th, 1893. So both those chicks.
Damn.
Holmes had an entrepreneurial spirit. Based on his father's medical education and his connections, he was able to sell skeletons to medical labs and schools.
That's the craziest part about this, is no offense to these poor ladies, but these bitches die.
Mm-hmm.
He cleans you so well with the toothbrush and all the things.
Bleach and
uh-huh. All the things, and he takes such good care of you, not to break you, not to fracture you, harm you in any way. And then he sells you. And then, like, you're a missing person, yeah? But, like, your body's in a school.
Mm-hmm. And the school's going to dispose of that body properly,
like, it's
when they're
nothing.
Done with it. Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, it's plastic. Throw it in the trash.
They're done with it.
But really, it's fucking not.
He's a pretty smart man. Fucked up, but pretty smart guy.
Pretty genius. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, go on.
So with his entrepreneurial spirit based on his former medical education and connections, he was able to sell the skeletons. He and sometimes hired an assistant were accused of stripping the flesh off bones, dissecting them, and preparing the viable skeletons. The rest of the remains would be tossed into the pits of lime or acid, effectively breaking down the remaining evidence.
Ew.
Yeah.
Imagine the smell of that shit, dude.
Well, that's it was in the basement? Yeah. And it was a concrete building.
But I got ventilated out to the street. To the streets of Chicago.
Broken. So within
so dashing. He's one of those people that had like them curls on point. Which makes me so mad. Just like the dude off of Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
How his curls are always
sexy.
On point.
Yeah.
And that stash. Oh my god, what a stash, bro. Rocking it.
Okay. When you have the look, you can con anybody.
And he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did. Okay, well, let's go keep going, because now we're...
So, with insurance companies pressing to prosecute Holmes for arson...
Did the state fair already come? Sorry. When was the Chicago State Fair? Is it in there? Okay, let me see your phone.
Yeah.
Not your phone. No, keep reading. I'll do this.
I shouldn't have anything bad on me. So, sorry. So he reappeared in Fort Worth when he dipped out because they were like, hey, we need to investigate you for arson.
Yeah.
Where he inherited property from the Williams sisters. And this is the one time the mini Williams lady that he killed.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
So he inherited the property because he killed those girls. Located at the other intersection of a modern-day Commerce and 2nd Street. There he sought to construct another castle along the lines of a Chicago operation, once again swindling a number of suppliers. Oh, so he built another castle for free? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying, folks? I can't even get my roof fixed. No, I'm kidding. In July 1894, Holmes was arrested and briefly incarcerated for the first time. On the charge of selling mortgage goods in St. Louis, Missouri, he promptly bailed out. And while in jail, he struck up... Oh, he was promptly bailed out.
Yeah.
While he was in there, he struck up a conversation with convicted outlaw named Marion Hedgepath, who was serving 25 years, homie. Holmes had concocted a plan to swindle an insurance company out of 10 grand, which is about $296,000 by 2019, about taking a policy on himself and faking the death. And this is his Hedgepath man. So Holmes promised Hedgepath that he would get $500 out of the $10,000. I will give you $5 to say that you are dead. What an idiot. Okay. In exchange for the name of the lawyer who could be trusted, Holmes was directed to a young St. Louis attorney named Jeppa Howe. Howe was in the practice with his older brother, Alfonso, which had no involvement in Holmes or Peasel or their fraudulent activity. The lawyer, Jeppa Howe, however, found Holmes' scheme brilliant. Nevertheless, Holmes' plan to fake his own death failed when the insurance company became suspicious and refused to pay. Holmes did not press the claim. Instead, he concocted a similar plan with Peitzel. Benjamin Peitzel, he agreed to fake his own death so his wife could collect under the $10,000 life insurance policy, which was to be split with Holmes and Jeppeth Howe. The scheme was to take place in Philly, called for Peitzel to set himself up under the investor name B.F. Perry. And then be killed and disfigured in a lab explosion. Holmes was to find an appropriate cadaver to play the role of Peitzel. Instead, he wanted it realistic. Holmes killed Peitzel by knocking him unconscious with chloroform and setting his body on fire with the use of benzene. You know, he's kind of a hardcore asshole.
Yeah, he's fucked up.
Set on fire while you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You guys, I don't like this man very much. Okay. So he set him on fire. However, forensic science presented at Holmes' later trial showed chloroform had been administered after Peitzel's death, a fact that the insurance company was unaware of. Presumably to fake suicide and exonerate Holmes should he be charged with murder. Holmes proceeded to collect the insurance payout on the basis of the genuine Peitzel corpse. Holmes then went on to manipulate the unsuspecting wife in allowing three of her five children, Alice, Nellie, and Howard, to be in his care and custody. Oh, God.
Which is insane to me, which I don't even understand. How in the fuck? Let's
con this and con this, and now I'll take care of your kids, though. In all good spirit, you can trust me.
Well, yeah, and, like, I get it in her eyes. She's like, well, you've never done me wrong. My husband's just not coming back, that asshole.
Because he has to pretend he's dead.
Well, yeah, and he took his share of the money. Genius. And he's, yeah, yeah, you know. But, man. Oh, yeah, see, there was a jewelry store, blacksmith restaurant.
How are we going to go do the state hospital ghost hunt now? Well, I'm borrowing. I have access to a wheelchair. You're going with me to that. So, we took the custody of the kids. The eldest daughter and the baby remained with Miss Peitzel, or Mrs. Peitzel. Holmes and the three children traveled across the northern United States into Canada. What? He took them out of the country?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
No! He doesn't need to do that. All right. Simultaneously, he escorted Mrs. Peitzel along a parallel route, all while using various aliases and lying to Mrs. Peitzel concerning her husband's death, claiming he was just hiding out in London. Well, look at that. As well as lying about her true whereabouts of the missing children. In Detroit, just prior to entering Canada, they were only separated by a few blocks. An even more audacious move, Holmes was staying in another location with his wife, who was unaware of the whole damn thing. What, he just went to work a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Holmes would later confess to murdering Alice and Nellie by forcing them into a large trunk and locking them inside. He then drilled a hole into the lid of the trunk and put one end of a hose through the hole, attaching the other end to a gas line to asphyxiate the girls. He burned their nude bodies in the cellar of his rental house at 16th Street, Vincent Street in Toronto. This home and address no longer exist. By the way, St. Vincent Street has been long since realigned to a part of the Bay Street. Oh, so they just updated.
They took it away, yeah.
Frank Geyer, a Philadelphia police detective assigned to investigate Holmes and find the three missing children, found the decomposed bodies of the two Peitzel girls in the cellar of the Toronto home. The detective Geyer wrote, "The deeper we dug, the more horrible the odor became, and when we reached the depth of 3 feet, we discovered what appeared to be the bone and the forearm of a human being." Geyer went into Indianapolis, where Holmes had rented a cottage. So we tracked this guy down. Good for him. Holmes was reported to have visited a local pharmacy to purchase the drugs, and that's how he used to kill Howard Peitzel. A repair shop to sharpen knives. He used to chop up bone before he burned it. And a boy's teeth and bits of bone were discovered in the home's chimney.
Yeah, he killed a sweet little boy and then folded him up and put him in the furnace. You know what I mean? Just put his little body in there.
Holmes' murder spree finally ended when he was arrested in Boston on November 17th, 1894, after being tracked there from Philly. Lost my place. From Philly by the Pinkertons. He was held with an outstanding warrant for horse theft in Texas. He's a busy boy. As the authorities came more suspicious at that point, and Holmes appeared poised to flee the country in the company of his unsuspecting third wife. Following the discovery of Alice and Nellie's bodies in July 1895, the Chicago police and reporters began investigating Holmes' building in Inglewood. It's locally known as the Castle. It is a very beautiful building. I love old architecture. Yeah.
Same here.
I guess we're going to Chicago. Though many sensational claims were made, no evidence was found that could have convicted Holmes in Chicago. According to Seltzer, stories of torture equipment found in the 20th century are fiction. I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that
this
I was
is a
murderer.
Quote. Hold on. Oh, restart that. This is a quote from H.H. Holmes himself. This is his one of his famous quotes.
Okay. I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer. No more than a poet can help the inspiration to sing. I was born with the evil one standing as my sponsor beside the bed where I was ushered into the world, and he has been with me since. H.H. Holmes. So, in October 1895, he was put on trial for the murder of Benjamin Peitzel and found guilty and sentenced to death. By then, it was evident that Holmes had murdered the Peitzel children. Following his conviction, Holmes confessed to 27 murders in Chicago, Illinois, Toronto. Some persons he confessed to murdering were still alive, and 6 attempted murders. Holmes was paid $7,500, worth $230,000 today, by the Hearst newspaper in exchange for his confession, which was quickly found to be mostly nonsense.
Yeah, he never told the truth.
They paid him before they fact-checked?
Yeah.
Idiots.
They just wanted the story first.
Oh, yeah, well. Holmes gave various contradictory accounts of his life, initially claiming innocence and later that he was possessed by Satan. Because he lied so much, it was difficult for researchers to ascertain the truth and on the basis of his statement. So I'm glad these people did their research and fact-checked this guy, because he was a wonderful con man.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Good job. That's a lot of money. And to travel all those places, too?
Yeah.
We haven't even told them the big one. Okay. Okay, so the newspaper paid for their confession, and then it was BS. Holmes gave various contradictory accounts of his life, initially claiming innocence, and later he was possessed by Satan. I already read that. Sorry. It was hard for researchers to see what was a lie and what was true. While writing his confession in prison, Holmes mentioned how drastically his facial appearance has changed since his last imprisonment. He described his new grim appearance as gruesome and taking a satanic cast. He wrote he was now convinced that everything he had done was beginning to resemble the devil. So the execution of H.H. Holmes in Moyamensing Prison in Philadelphia, 1896.
Okay.
On May 7th, 1896, Holmes was hanged at at the prison also known as Philadelphia County Prison for the murder of Peitzel. Until the moment of his death, Holmes remained calm and amiable, showing very few signs of fear, anxiety, or depression. Despite this, he asked for his coffin to be contained in cement and buried 10 feet deep because he was worried grave robbers would steal his body and use it for dissection.
Yep.
His neck did not snap, He was strangled to death slowly, twitching for over 15 minutes and being pronounced dead 20 minutes after the trapdoor had sprung. Well, you know, I don't really feel bad.
No, karma kind of... She got there.
Yes,
in the nick of time.
On New Year's Eve, 1901, Hedge Pun, who'd been pardoned for informing on Holmes, was shot and killed by police officer Edward Jurabic during a holdup at the Chicago Saloon. In March 1914, the Chicago Tribune reported that with the death of Quinlan, former caretaker of the castle, the mysterious of the home castles would remain unexplained. Quinlan died by suicide by taking strychnine. His body was found in the bedroom.
Poisoned himself, isn't that nuts?
Ugh, sorry. And this is the guy that thought he was, like, greater than Swiss cheese. Okay, his little follower. His body was found with a note that read, "I couldn't sleep." Quinlan's surviving relatives claimed he'd been haunted for several months and was suffering from hallucinations. The castle itself was mysteriously gutted by fire in August 1895. Mysterious, my ass.
Right.
Because that was before Holmes was hung. He just... Yeah. He just delegated. According to a newspaper clipping from the New York Times, two men were entering scene in the back of the building between 8 and 9 p.m., half an hour later, they were exiting the building, running fast, following, there were several explosions, and the castle went up in flames. However, investigators found a half an empty gas can underneath the back steps of the building. The building survived the fire and remained in use until it was torn down in 1938. The site is occupied by the Inglewood branch of United States Postal Service. In 2017, among the allegations, Holmes had, in fact, escaped execution. His body was exhumed for testing. Due to his coffin being contained in cement, his body was found not to have composed normally. His clothes were perfectly preserved, and his stash was still intact.
Yeah, yeah.
The body was positively identified, folks. Of being that of Holmes with his teeth.
Yes.
Then he was reburied. H.H. Holmes was executed May 7th, 1896, 9 days before his 35th birthday, for the murder of his friend and accomplice, Benjamin Pitzel. I'm going to let you take it from here to tell him all the fun links.
Okay, so...
So he really is dead.
Yeah.
I can't believe he burned up the castle before we could find out.
Well, no, you took all of his secrets with him, which I think is pretty bitchin' all at the same time. So one of the deaths, he locks her in a safe. I think it's one of his wives. I'm not sure. But he locks her in a safe and watches her for days while she starves, dies, decomposes, and all that. He watches the whole process.
Well, out of curiosity?
I don't know. I assume.
Just getting off on her pain.
Well, that's just it. It's like, I don't think that he got off on, like, the killing. I think he got off on, like, polishing the bones. And, like, making you a skeleton. And, like, putting you together.
Then why let them die like that?
For fun and entertainment. So, there are people. There's a whole documentary, a whole series about it. We watched it on YouTube. But it was on the History Channel too. But his great 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 grandson.
Lots of greats.
That's the greats. That's how many greats there are. There's three of them.
The current relative.
The current alive relative for H.H. Holmes. Fucking thinks that he is not only H.H. Holmes, the first. The one standing in this corner. First American killer.
First American serial killer.
Ever documented. Is also... Dun, 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 dun. Jack the fucking Ripper. Which, you guys are going to be like, no, that don't make sense.
That's new paper.
Time don't line up.
It does, though.
But it does. So, here in the U.S., there was a ship going over to London, of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 1888. And on this document where the captain tells everybody who's on the ship, what's on the ship, whatever his documentation, there is a guy that goes by the name of H. Holmes, who's 36 years old and an American, it says, that went over there when it... They claim that H.H. Holmes went over there, little Jackie started.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he decides to come on back to the U.S., Jackie stops.
They just suddenly stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it's out there that they I guess there's a good following of people that believe that he is also Jack the Ripper, which would be kind of cool. Because Jack's crime spree went from 1888 to 1891. It's only 3 years.
But yeah. And that's about the time that Murder Castle started, but I guess you
when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when he comes back, and I think he comes back and makes the castle because he still wants to be able to ambush people,
mm-hmm.
but he wants to be able to do it in his own playground. Like, you guys, some of these doors, you'd open up a door and it would be a brick wall. Just like in the horror, like not in horror movies, mainly in cartoons. Like when you have a hallway and there's doors on each side of the hallway, mm-hmm. and like all the doors are different. That's how this fool's house was. And, like, one of the girls, she died from being gassed to death. She died in her sleep. But, like, he sat there in a peephole and watched it. Like, how insane, in a peephole.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he went in, like, the closet entrance and got her body and, like, disposed of her in the hallway to the basement or whatever.
Down the chute?
But, yeah. He did so many crazy... And to be able to manipulate yourself into getting not one, but two businesses.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah. Well, whatever happened to this? Because this is...
Well, he did insurance schemes for people. Like, he burned, like,
married houses. Married six times.
Yeah.
You know.
And a bunch of them died, and he would get insurance money from them.
Mm-hmm. With the land in Fort Worth, Texas, after he killed Minnie.
Yeah.
Her sister, and then he got the land.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, I mean, from coming up from nothing.
He's kind of a genius.
He is.
Yeah.
So, I asked my brother, I said, why, I'm going to do your story, why do you think H.H. Holmes is the bee's knees? And he said, because he was truly twisted and a genius at the same time. He is more like a modern Jack the Ripper. Which is kind of crazy because, well, that's who they think he is. You know? He could be. Which I think is very interesting.
Well, because, yeah.
And it's weird. So, a doctor...
traveled all over the place, too.
He did, too.
Bouncing and
shit. And when he gets back from this London trip and all this nonsense, he gets a fucking concrete company. He owns a concrete company. A factory, not a company, that he never makes a shipment out of or to, but it's right on the Boston River. And convenient. I still don't know what the fuck is in there because that damn show never showed us. This is something completely different.
It'll show it in another episode.
Oh my god, it's in making me so angry.
They're still talking about pets and...
Well, this is a whole different show.
The mansion.
But, well, this is still H.H. Holmes, but it's a whole different documentary that I put on. So it's all different. I don't even know now. But yeah, so that's it for my little brother. We just smashed H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
And sorry it's a day late.
We're going to put up with you.
My mom and my sister say they didn't see my text.
Mm-hmm. We love you. So it's okay.
Whatever. But that won't, hopefully it won't happen again. We'll stick on schedule, hopefully, from here on out. And we'll see how this all goes.
It's gonna be great.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I really hurt, guys. So you guys should be nice to me just because of that. Should just because I'm injured. Oh, I did get to talk to my little brother today. Did you know that the food made in the
county?
In the federal. Yeah, you know this. Your husband told me. In the federal prison here is all made fresh. And so when I talked to my brother, I was like, hey, do they prepare your food out of like how the jail does it? They just get bags, heat the bags up like a deli. And then there's your food. No, they make all his food in home, in the facility. In house. Yeah, he said he gets really good portions.
Well, good.
He says he prefers. Yeah, he says he prefers the federal to county.
Yeah.
Which isn't good. He's not boasting, but I mean, you know what I mean? When that's all you got, it's what you got.
Yeah. Well, county doesn't really care about anybody, so. Well, yeah. It's bagged food that's.
We'll see.
Someone said they had to eat hot dogs 6 days a week.
Something like that.
Woo!
Anyway. But yeah, I talked to my brother, so it made me happy.
Yeah,
so
good.
We will move on, folks. This will get less worse, and it will get better. When the pain goes away, yeah. I will be good and golden. Just need the pain to go away.
So they plan to tear down this building. Is that what you're telling me? How come they can't keep it and like really look?
Because they already tore it down.
What, son of a bitch?
It was tore down when it burned.
Good.
Sorry, you guys, the documentary is going in the background. More questions she has.
Yeah, I keep pulling
it. I don't know. They should have kept it. Dumbasses, that would have been amazing to walk through. Could you imagine being able to walk through to torture her? Oh, my God. Talk about amazeballs.
I guess we could go visit the Winchester house. That's haunted, too.
Well, I guess. Anywhere with wheelchair access. But, yeah.
It's in Tennessee. It would be a road trip.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put you in the back with a pillow. And
speaking of the sweet little fucker, he just got here on his lunch, so we're going to end this.
We can make it awkward and sing happy birthday.
Right.
As he goes the other way.
So follow us on Twitter at itiswhatitis208, because that's where we're from. On Instagram, itiswhatitispod19, all one word. On Facebook, itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. On YouTube, it is a true crime podcast. And once again, happy birthday to my little brother.
Hey.
We love you. We adore you. And he does everything for everybody, so he's a special kid for sure.
Yes, he is.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Oh, there he is.
I appreciate you.
Peace out.
Peace.